The reason why I say it confuses me is because in America, we usually eat dessert food for breakfast. Is there any explanation, you know, behind that?
But everything else that people consider to be, you know, American cuisine has its roots somewhere else.
I don't even know. Cinnamon buns that come from heaven.
Yes.
They're too good.
That is the best.
So, and are you seriously going to make me eat and drink all of this?
This is all for you.
Okay.
I've had it. I've had everything on
the menu
before.
Give me a second. I think I need to do a little bit cardio.
Yeah.
I need to lose.
I was going to say, jump up and down.
I'm going to make up the cardio I'm going to eat today. I don't know why. Okay. How am I going to eat this burger? How am I going to do it? All right, everybody. Today's guest is a real American. His name is Brad. He's a co-founder here at Eddie's.
Thank you very much, Wee. Great to have you. Welcome to Eddie's.
Right.
I've got a feast for you ahead.
I can't wait. Let's go. All right, so today Brad will show me one of his favorite tricks in the kitchen, which is, I know that I love omelet, and the omelet is something very, it screams America. So tell me, what's the secret that I can make a fluffy omelet?
Okay, so usually when you're making an omelet,
yeah,
as you know, it consists of eggs and milk, seasoning and ingredients.
Yes, which is what we have here. We have eggs and everything here.
If you're really looking to impress people and make a special omelet,
yeah,
there is a secret ingredient that you can use, and that secret ingredient is right in this bowl here.
What is this? It's like buttermilk.
What do you think it is?
I know. It's.
What does it smell like?
Buttermilk. No.
Mm.
I don't know what it
smells
like. It smells like pancake.
That's exactly
pancake mix.
Right.
Right.
So, if you're really looking to impress, all you need to do is add about a quarter cup of pancake batter
right
to your omelet. What you're gonna do is mix the eggs as you usually would.
Okay.
Just whisk away. You wanna go ahead.
Okay. Is it time to put the pancake mix in?
Let's put the pancake batter in there. That's
okay.
About 75 ml of pancake batter.
Okay.
Fantastic. I would put a little butter in your pan.
Got some melted butter here.
Pan's right. Nice and hot.
There we go. Pour it in.
Slowly.
Slowly.
And now you're just going to make the omelet exactly as you would make it. You're probably going to want to wait a little while, and then you can add your ingredients anytime you want.
Right. Here we have some cheese and some hams.
Yep. This is a very simple omelet. Let's make it cheesy. And can I get a little salt and pepper? That's beautiful. You are a pro.
I cannot try the secret that Brad has taught me to make my omelet fluffier. It smells like pancake.
Yeah.
Mmm. Super fluffy. Look. Super. If you want to hire me, yes, I'm currently unemployed. Please
okay.
hire me.
I can make
your omelet specialist.
You need to get here at 6 a.m. Is that going to be a problem?
Yes, sir.
No okay.
Worries. Yes.
All right. Fantastic. You're hired.
I'm hired. Thank you. Now let's get. I want to eat your food first.
All right.
I'm gonna taste
looking
food.
Forward to bringing you through the menu.
Let's go. Let's
okay.
do it. All right, Brad, what I'm seeing here is a, I don't know how to call this. This is a platter. This is a breakfast platter. Please tell me what's in this.
So this is our breakfast sharing platter for two. So I'd call it a quintessential American breakfast.
Right.
It starts, the center is the biscuit and gravy. Biscuits and gravy are really a Southern breakfast item going back to the early 1800s.
Uh-huh.
And it was kind of a staple of an American breakfast in the South. And here
are cinnamon buns.
Eddie's world famous cinnamon buns.
Whenever I mention about American breakfast, this is, sometimes it confuses me in a way that you can see there's pancakes here, you can see there's cinnamon buns here. These are the type of food that usually eaten as a dessert. The reason why I say it confuses me is because in America, we usually eat dessert food for breakfast. Is there any explanation, you know, behind that?
I think the American breakfast, it's very much features more sweet items along with the savory, so you get the mix of the two so you can eat more. Because if you're only eating savory items, eventually you get tired of eating those items, right?
Yeah.
And so it really confuses a lot of people. Why are you going to have a savory pork gravy with biscuits? So
yeah.
We have to spend a lot of time explaining to our guests what it is. And once they try it, generally, they really enjoy the food. So it's been a very positive experience over the past 5 years since we opened our first Eddie's in Taudian.
Okay, but before we dig deeper into the food and then also the style of hospitality, I want to mention the portion. I mean, Vietnamese, we're not used to huge, gigantic portion and high in calories like this. I mean, we Vietnamese, we eat, I would say relatively, the meals are very light. So, did you have anything that you need to adapt when you come here to Vietnam and you're trying to bring this American portion here to the Vietnamese eaters?
So it's a great question.
Yeah.
And what we really say, it's American-style food, but we do serve it in an Asian way.
Uh-huh.
We take a lot of care in explaining that the portions are American size. Mm. We'll cut things in half. Mm. We'll cut them in thirds. Whatever's going to make the customer and the guest feel most comfortable, we're going to serve it that way.
Mm.
What I've had to do with some items, I'm not going to change the portion sizes.
Oh, I can see a lot more food coming up. Wow, what are those? Okay, then let me get that. It looks very sexy. Now what I see is a beautiful sandwich here with some onion rings. What is this?
So this is called a Reuben sandwich.
The Reuben sandwich.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Reubens are considered to be one of the 10 most popular sandwiches in America.
Yeah.
And Reubens are a real special item.
Ham, cheese, some sauce there.
Yeah. So what you're looking at is corned beef.
Corned beef.
And corned beef comes from brisket. So one of the things that really makes Eddie special is that we're curing and smoking our own meat here.
When we mentioned about American food, American cuisine, it's hard for me to actually pinpoint and define what exactly American food is. Because you find a lot of food here in America that has influence, or even, you know, it's been brought over from other country, you know, because America is a country of settlers. How do you think that the role of immigrant plays in the American food scene, that what it makes American cuisine, you know, it is now today?
So you're absolutely right. Mm. So it's like America's a melting pot, and we have Native Americans, and they obviously had food, and they ate, and there was some influence of the Native Americans. But everything else that people consider to be, you know, American cuisine has its roots somewhere else. After World War II, everything changed in terms of the American food culture and the American food scene.
Mm.
And a couple influences. So one was, you had, let's take pizza. So you had American servicemen stationed in Italy. They got a taste for pizza. They would never have eaten it necessarily States, right? So they come back and they really love this food. And so this food that was more common in the immigrant populations then starts to gain popularity in the general population and spreads from places like just in New York all across the country.
Right.
But you're right. Almost every type of food I can think of has some origin in another culture. And sometimes the origin goes way back.
Way back.
You know, and it could go back to Greek times or even Latin times. Right? And then each region in America kind of made that food their own. So it's not a stagnant American cuisine is far from stagnant. It's constantly changing.
Okay.
And that's what makes it very exciting.
Yeah.
Also.
And what if you have to name one dish that does not have an influence from the settlers that was like heavily originally American, what would that be?
It's almost impossible to think of any food.
Yeah.
That is really American in origin.
Mm.
This next dish we're gonna try here, okay, which is clam chowder.
Clam chowder.
Clam chowder, believe it or not, clam chowder seems to be about the only food that I could think of that like really has its origins in like America.
Okay.
And the story goes back to the time of the early colonists, right?
Mm.
And so clams and seafood were very plentiful around New England and that area. And the story goes that the Native Americans introduced some type of seafood stew,
yeah,
including clams, to the settlers. And so this dish, ooh, might just be the most original, right? Who would have ever thought?
Yeah.
Right, that clam chowder. Right, you might have thought it came from Europe.
I thought this was like a French dish that was introduced to America. This, you know, I have no clue.
Again, what I know about food origin stories is there's always two or three stories, right? It's really hard to identify, like, who was the first one. We didn't have the internet, right?
Exactly.
You're right. You didn't have people posting on
Instagram.
Nobody
writing down
in
stuff.
1920, yeah. Right? And only a few, you know, there are a few things that are very clear where they came from, but not many. I mean, honestly, cinnamon buns, where do you think they come from? Cinnamon buns, it turns out, were the Swedes.
Ah.
But only in the 1920s and 30s.
Ah.
And so this is really something that came to America. Now, what did America add? America added the cream cheese, butter, and icing sugar.
Right.
And so that was the America. And of course, we made them bigger.
Yeah.
Right? Because everything in America is
it's just bigger.
Right? I didn't say better, but it's bigger.
Bigger. You mentioned one funny thing is that Americans somehow, they always make things bigger, and they always make things creamier, more milk. Is that a common trait? Is that the American appetite that they just want to eat more? They want to eat creamier.
It's a big country with big people. Look, food trends change over time, right?
Yeah.
But you're right. If you had to kind of describe American food, I think comfort. Right? This is one of the key components is comfort.
Mm.
And then very much meat-oriented and predominantly beef. And then dairy. So butter and cheese. These are things we really have an abundance of in America. We have a lot of cows in America. And food in America up until very recently was inexpensive compared to other places in the world.
Mm.
And when you have inexpensive food, what happens? People tend to eat more.
Eat much more, yeah. Is there anything that on your menu that, you know, really screams out America, and then it has all the characteristics, like you said, it's big, it's, you know, high in calories, it's very meaty. Anything that you want to introduce me to?
Yeah, I have a special item coming soon.
Yeah?
We've designed something new called the Barnyard Burger. Why is it called the Barnyard Burger? Because it has just about everything we could imagine from a barnyard on the burger.
Okay. All right. I don't know. I'm lost of words. I don't know how to call this thing. It's like a tower. I don't know. What is this?
So this is the Barnyard Burger.
Right.
And as I said, so it starts with crispy chicken, cheese, flame-grilled chicken filet.
I can see some beef patty, I can see some bacon, some
hash browns,
some eggs,
a little more cheese, some bacon,
and some
lettuce,
buns.
Tomato, right.
I see some drinks here. I can see some milkshake, but there's some bacon on top.
Right, so this is one of our really famous, of our famous milkshakes, and this is our bacon maple milkshake. And here again, you know how we're talking about breakfast, how you're surprised, like, there's sweet things for breakfast.
Yeah.
Somehow or another, we like that sweet, savory thing.
Okay.
And sometimes putting things together that you would never expect to blend well together, they do really work well.
Mm-hmm.
So Eddie's isn't Eddie's, you know, Eddie's is not Eddie's without milkshake.
And are you seriously gonna make me eat and drink all of this?
This is all for you.
Okay.
I've had it. I've had everything on
the
menu.
Give me a second.
Before.
I think I need to do a little bit cardio.
Yeah.
I need to lose.
I was going to say, jump up and down.
I'm
going to
make up
bit.
The cardio I'm going to eat today. I don't know why. Okay. How am I going to eat this burger? How am I going to do it?
Please go ahead and grab an onion ring. You're a fan.
I am a fan.
All right.
Okay,
there
cheers.
We go.
Cheers to onion
all right.
Ring.
Cheers, man.
Cheers. Let's go.
Cheers.
Cheers. Right. I'm having a hard time eating this.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
You got some flavors in there, right?
Oh, yeah. I am surprised with the size of my mouth that I can open this big to eat this gigantic thing.
I'm impressed.
Yeah.
That is the taste of my childhood, right there.
Just for the audience at home watching Allah, this is what I'm doing for you, okay? I'm risking my health. I might be having a heart attack soon after this meal. This is what I'm doing for you, okay? So love me. Watch it more. Thank you. There's one thing that I couldn't keep myself asking you is that whenever I'm looking at American food, I always think it of very oily, very high in calorie, and most of it is like fried, grilled, and stuff. But recently, there's a trend of people wanting to eat healthier. They want to eat something that's, you know, giving them, they care more about their health in general. So do you think that, is that a problem for you as a restaurant owner? And then do you think that it will change the American cuisine in the future?
So I think it creates opportunities. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, our menu isn't one menu, it's three menus, right? So we have the Eddie's menu, which is the standard menu, the Shelley's menu, which is a vegetarian menu.
Ah, okay.
And then we have our American Chinese menu, Eddie's Wok.
Right.
And on each menu, I always tell people at Eddie's, you can eat as healthy as you want, or it can be your cheat day place.
I want to talk about something that it's your motto here. It's the diner / deli thing. What is it really? You know, what is it? What is the diner, you know, like, you know, hospitality that you're trying to aim at? I mean, you mentioned briefly about it. Can you tell me a little bit more?
Sure. I think first we can define, like, so Eddie's is actually three different restaurants in one place.
Uh-huh.
So it looks like a diner, right?
Yeah.
This is classic 50s.
Exactly.
Red booze,
Red
stainless
booze,
steel,
you know.
Check floor.
Yeah.
This is total diner style.
Yeah.
Right? Diners were something that started in the late 1800s, and they were originally like the original food cart.
Mm.
So they were horse-drawn carriages that would pull up in front of a factory in the late 1800s,
yeah.
Right? And the workers would come out, and it was just inexpensive food to feed the workers. It then kind of morphed into pre-manufactured restaurants, mostly being built in the Mideast. Those are the ones that we think about with the stainless steel exteriors and the neon and the beautiful windows. So those are manufactured restaurants. And again, diner culture, kind of the heyday of diner culture in America, was the 50s and 60s, again, going back to more automotive, people on the road, right?
Yeah.
Looking for a quick place to eat,
yeah.
comfort food,
yeah.
Friendly service.
Yeah.
So this idea of hospitality and friendly service is really an American style. And let me explain what the difference
mean?
Is
yeah.
between service and hospitality.
Mm.
Okay? Good service to me means your order's taken right, the food's delivered in a reasonable amount of time,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's served in a friendly enough way, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're happy. It doesn't interfere with your meal.
Mm-hmm.
Hospitality, the way we define hospitality, is a warm, friendly experience that you're gonna remember.
Mm-hmm.
And that might just bring you back.
Talking about food, even though I'm so full right now, but I still wanna try, I wanna taste some of your food that you mentioned is the
Eddie's Wok.
Eddie's Wok.
American
okay.
Chinese.
Let's
Great.
Get to it. Let's
okay.
go. All right, so we're next to what you have to offer me. What is this? This is Chinese American food?
Yeah, I know it seems kind of strange, right?
Right. Yeah. Some fried rice.
Please,
some
please
steamed
help yourself,
rice, and
right?
this is some it's a kung pao
little
chicken.
Little kung pao chicken, right?
Kung pao
chicken. That, like, the Americans tend to eat their Chinese food with steamed rice.
Mm.
And, you know, there's something like in the States, there's like between Chinese restaurants and American Chinese restaurants, there's like 40,000 Chinese and American Chinese restaurants in the States. That's like one for every 8,000 people. It's still authentically American, truly American food. It's been like the Chinese brought it to America in the 1840s, around the time of the gold rush.
Mm.
And this is the history of American Chinese food.
Right.
And then it like, so, turn of the century, again, early 1900s, Chinese food started to become more Americanized. If you were kind of like a worker
yeah.
and didn't have a lot of money,
yeah.
you couldn't necessarily afford to go eat at Cat's Deli. Mm. That was expensive back then, right? And not every restaurant would accept immigrants. Chinese restaurants, everybody's welcome. Tasty exotic food that doesn't cost a lot of money and a welcoming environment.
Mm.
And this is the story of how American Chinese food
was born.
Grew, yeah.
Right. Okay, there's one thing I want to ask you to conclude today's talk is that I'm very fascinated in one of the terms that we have used is that Americanized food. It's not only just, you know, the food in America, they've been brought over, it been, you know, influenced by other countries, by the settlers, you know, by the soldiers coming back, but it does Americanized food meaning that sometimes it doesn't change the recipe, but it invented a new dish, per se, Kung Pao chicken. You cannot find Kung Pao chicken anywhere in China, even in Hong Kong, Taiwan, anywhere. This is purely an American dish. So what do you think about that? So what do you think about this term of Americanized food?
Well, it makes it more palatable to a wider audience. Mm. I mean, this is really listening to the customer.
Right. Okay, last dish, dessert. Yep. Let's go. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, everybody, this is the last dish I'm gonna have today at Eddie's. You know what people say, you always have room for dessert. So this is it. This is the cheesecake. Right.
This is a New York cheesecake.
New York cheesecake.
And there's a difference, right? Uh-huh. So New York cheesecake is a baked cheesecake.
Uh-huh.
Mm. It's a richer, creamier cheesecake.
Yeah.
And one of the requirements, it has a graham cracker crust.
Mm.
Okay, graham crackers don't exist in Vietnam, which means that, you know, we have our own bakery, right? So we bake all our own buns, bread, everything's baked in-house.
Well, thank you, Brad. If there's something I learned today is that even though it's hard for people to pinpoint, to define what exactly American cuisine is, but you can see it at this way, is that American food is, it's got a little bit of everything. So it's a diverse, you know, it got influences coming from different countries, coming from different regions, and then they Americanized it. And that is the beauty of American food.
Yeah, I think that's well said. It's a huge country.
Yeah.
There's something for everybody in America, right?
Yeah.
This is it. Well, thanks for joining me.
Well, thank you, Brad. I had a feast today. I wouldn't say I had a meal. I had a feast today. I'm full, I learned so much more about American food. And for sure, I will come back, you know,
good.
To Eddie's. All right, thank you, Brad.
Yeah, pleasure to meet you.
Thank you.
Yeah.